Blog Talk Radio.
Truth, awaken to truth, truth talk. Hope everybody's having a great Tuesday. I actually couldn't sleep last night. So in the middle of the night, I woke up and I took two, like, acetaminophen. I slept till 9:30 in the morning, which is so unlikely for me, which is crazy. Not that you care, but hey, if you're going to listen to this show, we might want to get to know each other a little personally. And if you ever wanted to call in, our call-in number is 646-787-1584, 646-787-1584. So what is going on? Hey, you know, very interesting things that I've been reading. And I got a little bit of a buzz going here on Facebook, not like an actual physical buzz, but a buzz on Facebook. I posted something about some very interesting things with African Americans. Mainly, it was called The Truth About Two Jacksons. And you've got Andrew Jackson and Jesse Jackson. And really the truth is, both promote slavery, both have illegitimate children, both are racist, both use the black people to enrich themselves. Both are duplicitous, deceitful, deplorable, dangerous, dark, disingenuous, disenfranchising, delusional, disgusting, depraved, dishonest Democrats, okay? Not that we're going to be talking Democrat, Republican, but they've got just like a shitstorm of likes, and it's so true. I mean, I was shocked, and I made a misstatement on our last show where I said Martin Luther King was a Democrat. I'm so sorry, but Martin Luther King was a Republican, and most people don't know that. And, hey, I am not promoting the Republican Party in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying the Democrats have a long history of racism and trying to hold the common guy down. They use people. They use identity politics, be it gender, be it race. They're the racists. Let's talk. Let's be real. Now, let's, anybody that can be honest enough to debate me on a different thing that I'm wrong, that the Republicans are racist. Now, there may be individual Republicans that are racist. There may be individual Democrats that really don't like what their party's doing. A lot of them kick over, you know. So let's see. We had a great Awaken to Empowerment last night. Really pathetic. Poor Antonio Sabato. He went and spoke at the Republican convention. So guess what? He's getting blackballed. Really? What about freedom of speech? Why are Democrats so oppressive and intolerant? Okay, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. So let's see here. Here's something that this is nothing to do with politics, but I just love this. The coolest people I ever met have the most colorful past. They live lives of risky, made bad choices, learned lessons, explored, and they're not afraid of being real. Tattered and tattered tapestries woven of similar threads, they're my kind of people, my favorite shades of crazy. It's Stephen Lazat. Isn't that cool? Here we go. Equality is about giving everyone an equal chance, not about giving one an equal result. How true is that? Now, here's something that I thought to be really interesting, because I totally love Marianne Williamson. Of course, The Miracles Gal, Return to Love, she ran in California. I really like Marianne Williamson. may not agree with her politically, but here. This is her letter to Hillary Clinton. I want a woman president, really do. A lot of us do. And yes, you're qualified. And yes, we've known you forever. And yes, you know what to do from day one. But none of that is enough to get my vote or the vote of a lot of other people I know. We only want to vote for you if you run like hell away from that corporate box you've landed in, stop cozying up with the banks, the chemical companies, and the military-industrial complex, to the party machine and all the various financiers who made up the plutocracy now running this country. I want you to rail against the chemical companies and their GMOs, not support them. Bada boom! Bada bing! Huh. Here, here, Marianne Williamson. Now you got a Republican candidate that hasn't taken money from any big corporations. He's the mom and pop. I think for the first time in a long time, America has a choice to elect someone as verbose and as off color as they may be. Maybe it's time to go ahead and, you know, just vote for someone who's different. Who's really, really different. So, you know, hey, we got more from the queen of quid pro quo. Let's see. Breaking, Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks. I love this WikiLeaks stuff. Oh, there's a new batch of emails. Hillary and her friend Gulen, in reality, she has supported the very people that seek to destroy our nation. Here you go. There has never been a time in U.S. history where our leadership has failed us so badly. Over the last eight years, but hey, this is what it's supposed to say. Obama, with the help of Hillary Clinton, has done everything in his power to destroy what makes this country great. This is from the Conservative Daily Post. Obama wants our military depleted. He wants the world not to be afraid of us. He wants millions of immigrants to come and go as they please, and he is perfectly content with allowing ISIS to grow into the global threat they are today. There is absolutely no denying that WikiLeaks has been a world champion of bringing justice to those that are corrupt and abuse their political powers, like Hillary Clinton. Yes, Hillary Clinton has used and abused her political powers for her own self-gain. It's really pathetic. And the people suffer. The file from Congress reveals that there are strong ties between Hillary Clinton and members of the Islamic cleric in Turkey. She has always promoted Sharia law. Remember, about a month ago, when you saw thousands of people in Turkey try to pull off a coup against their leader, Erdogan. How come I don't know how to say that? Erdogan. WikiLeaks has proven Hillary Clinton was one of the chief architects behind that. Sources speaking anonymously have indicated that the connection between Clinton and the accolades of the Imam Fethullah Gulen will end the relationship between the U.S. and Turkey, a key NATO ally, if Hillary Clinton wins the White House. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has initiated an extreme retaliation against Gulen and his followers as well. Erdogan, who was once allied with Gulen, has asked President Obama several times to pull the strings to have Gulen extradited to his other home in Pennsylvania. The WikiLeaks documents indicate that Erdogan blamed Gulen for the uprising against the Turkish government. The documents show that on April 1, 2009, an email from Gulen follower named Gökhan Özak, you can't make these names now. It's my ignorance, I don't know how to say it. Gökhan Özak. Asked Hillary Clinton Deputy Chief of Staff Uma Abedin for help in connecting one of his allies to President Obama. The documents show that Özkök is a founding board member of the Turkish Cultural Center and part of a large business apparatus that is closely tied with Gulen movement, also known as Hizmet. Had WikiLeaks not gained control of these emails, we've never been able to see this major connection. The documents show that Özkök serves the National Finance Co-Chair Pro-Clinton Ready Pack. He's on record for control. Here you go, follow the money here, like we've been saying all along. Follow the money. He is on record contributing $10,000, that's not a lot, to the committee in 2014 and $2,700 to Clinton's campaign in 2015. He's also a member of the Clinton Global Initiative and has given $25,000 and $50,000 to Clinton, the Clinton quote-unquote charity. In these documents, it's the Clinton Foundation. See, I told you we're going to talk about the Clinton Foundation, so that's part of the Clinton Foundation. In these documents, we found out that there is a connection between Golanus and Hillary Clinton, and that Golan Aligned Group called Alliance for Shared Values hired Clinton-connected Podesta Group to lobby Congress. The Podesta Group, nothing to see here. Leon Podesta, gee, I wonder why he endorsed her. God, this cronyism, the quid pro quo here is just deplorable. I need coffee. The Podesta Group primarily exists for those wanting to wanting influence from Clinton. The firm was co-founded by John Podesta, which is Clinton's campaign chairman. Okay, so it's not founded by Leon Podesta, John Podesta. Maybe there is no Leon Podesta. See the connection building? Mr. Assange, a patriot trying to put Hillary Clinton where she deserves to be. Erdogan has trouble stopping the Golan's influence in the U.S., but it hasn't worked because he's closely tied into a network with Hillary Clinton. In 2011, the New York Times conducted an investigation and proved that Golan's were given work visas by the State Department when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Oh, my gosh. He was given work visas by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Nothing to see here. Move along. Ugh. The teachers were forced to give nearly all of their salaries back to the Golan movement. The idea was that teachers could come to the U.S. for a better life, but nearly all of their money would go back to their bosses. The Golan movement, and then Golans made up a large contributions to Hillary Clinton in exchange for allowing them to bring thousands of workers over from Turkey. In 2015, the documents revealed that Golan followers donated to Clinton's various political campaigns and to her family, and it sums in $500,000 and $1 million. Wow. And here's an email from, oh my gosh. Dear Uma, please tell Madam Secretary that it would be great if President Obama can include a 15-minute meeting with Al-Mukaddin Hisagoglu, Secretary General of the Organization of Islamic Conference, into his trip to Turkey. Below you will find an excerpt from the wiki for him. Thanks in advance. This is pathetic. This is really pathetic. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Wow. Okay, so they met with Obama after this email and create U.S. ambassador in Muslim world in 2009. CIA have indicated that Isangulu, very long history of working with terrorist group Hamas. Isn't that nice? The new leaks clearly showed that the Podesta group made connections with several Turkish companies. Julian Assange also proving Podesta Group represented Uranium One, Russia-controlled uranium company that approved to buy one-fifth of uranium by Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State. Documents show that Hillary received $145 million to her foundation in return. An anonymous FBI source indicated that this very serious situation, Hillary could end up being persecuted if more information released. Wow. Wow. Our time is running out. Let's put Hillary in prison. If we do nothing and let major stories like this sit, she'll become president and we'll never be able to touch her again. You know, I don't know. I mean, this is crazy. I don't know if this is all speculation, but what wouldn't this woman do? What wouldn't this woman do for power? You know, it's crazy. So what America do you want to live in? Do you want to live in an oppressive America where people control what you say, how you say it? We wouldn't even have this blog talk radio that many of us use as a sounding board for our ideas and for our passions. What America do you want to live in? Do you want to be free? I mean, do we want to have terrorists come across our border freely? You know, I think the idea of being able to go to different countries is awesome and to be free to do so. I think it's great to be able to tour. But you know what? Sovereign nations are sovereign nations. We are not living, you know, in a utopia here. There's people, there's emotions, there's psychoses, and people are hungry for power. People are mean. People have, you know, agendas. You know, if everybody just did come from a place of love, that would be awesome. But that's not real, okay? It's so not real. So which America do you want to live in? You know, heroes are people who accomplish extraordinary feats under extraordinarily difficult circumstances, such as the firefighters who marched in the World Trade Center towers in 9/11 and attempt to save lives while everyone else was scurrying to get out. Heroes, police officers that are being excoriated by Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. There's another kind of hero, though, one who makes a living accomplishing extraordinary feats also under extraordinary difficult circumstances every day of the year. This hero is the entrepreneur. Okay, the entrepreneur, small businesses. Small business used to be 70% in 2008 of the American population. It is now down to 50%. So the entrepreneur believes in the right of the individual to go as far as his talents and his efforts can take him. And just as important, the right of exceptional individual to be allowed to be exceptional and to live exceptionally. If you're willing to work hard, then why not? Why not? Go for it. He is American's great unsung hero because his creativity, resiliency, and willingness to take risks, which have resulted of giving Western civilization the highest standard of living the world has ever known. Okay? I mean, seriously, he's got creativity, resiliency, and that risk-taking. The entrepreneur thrives on challenge, and his day-to-day eating habits are directly tied to what he produces. In other words, he has no safety net. He gets results or he starves. When an entrepreneur fails, it's not uncommon for him to lose everything. And when he does, his employees go to the next job while he's on to face his creditors. Many of the most famous people in our nation's history, like Jefferson, have suffered this fate as a result of risking everything because they believe so strongly in their ventures. As an entrepreneur, here's a quote from Jim DeMint, as an entrepreneur myself and a small business owner for over 15 years, I'm convinced that entrepreneurs are America's greatest unsung heroes. Wall Street may know wealth, how wealth is traded, but entrepreneurs know how wealth and prosperity are created. The entrepreneur's eternal nemesis. The progressive is the natural enemy of the entrepreneur, and thus the enemy of human progress. In fact, the word and term progressive is a misnomer. Based on decades of empirical evidence, progressives are actually retrogressives because, in their words, their actions make it clear in reality they hate progress. The driving force between retrogressivism is an acronym I like to refer to as GAVAED, guilt, arrogance, victimization, envy, anger, demonization. This is so true. These negative character flaws are powerful human failings that cause people to place their desire for wealth without work above moral consideration. The retrogressives have been moving the United States away from liberty and towards servitude for more than 100 years. And this, in turn, has stifled the entrepreneur and prevented him from tapping into his full potential to create products and services that improve mankind's existence. The retrogressive deplores the idea of people taking responsibility for their own lives and seeking success in their own merits. Thus, the entrepreneur, by creating jobs and stimulating the economy, undermines the retrogressive's agenda for achieving power over others through government transfer of wealth schemes. In an effort to stifle the entrepreneur's efforts to create products and services that people want, retrogressive government taxes hit him at every turn, burdens him with endless regulations, relentlessly harasses him, and because the retrogressive is absolutely certain that his beliefs are morally superior to those of the entrepreneur who produces goods and services in the marketplace, he has no qualms about using force if necessary to achieve its ends. Putting it all on the line, this is from Robert Ringer, and he is a number one New York Times bestselling author and host of the highly acclaimed Liberty Educational Interview Series. And he's amazing. He is amazing. Why would Robert Ringer want to spend an enormous amount of time and energy and financial resources knowing he might end up with nothing? Well, that's to make up a lot of money, and that's the entrepreneur. That's what motivates the entrepreneur, not helping people, not promoting world peace, not protecting the human race from global cooling or global warming, whichever happens to be in vogue at any given time. Yeah, it's to make money. It's to live a better life. So then, guess what? Once you have that money, you could go ahead and help other people. See, poor people can't help people. Poor people can't even help themselves. Only rich people can help help other people. They can help rich people, too. That's cool. It's difficult. See, none of this that the entrepreneur does not care about others, okay, nor does it mean that he is not civic-minded or charitable. It's just that none of these attributes have anything to do with his chief business and objective, and that's making money. As difficult as it may be for the retrogressive to accept, a business is not a charity, and the purpose of a business is to make money, period. The bonus to all this, however, is that result of his pursuit of profits and through the invisible hand of the marketplace, the entrepreneur also creates jobs, produces products and services that people want, and does not. The one thing that government can never hope to accomplish is stimulate the economy. Okay? This is why we need an entrepreneur president. Retrogressives likes to argue that the entrepreneur acts on his best own self-interest. And he's absolutely right. But doesn't everyone else? The fact that self-interest is neither good or bad, it's simply a human trait. The way the entrepreneur acts in his own self-interest is by producing products and services that other people want, which he hopes to increase his own wealth. But there's a big difference between two unintended consequences. The entrepreneur's self-interest provides benefits to others, while self-interest of the parasite does great harm to the overall economy and makes life more different for individuals. They will never even meet. Thus, the invisible hand of the marketplace works in both directions. The smart entrepreneur knows that in order to achieve his financial objectives, he must create value for others. He knows that if he does not give you the best products and services at lower possible prices, his competitors will be more than happy to do so in an effort to win your business. So, dealing with failure. The entrepreneur is not afraid of failure because he realizes that every failure serves as a positive learning experience. He understands that each failure brings him one step closer to success. Thus, when the entrepreneur gets tripped up, he does not want help from the government. On the contrary, he wants is for the government to leave him the F alone. Okay, I added the F word, but just me for emphasis. A successful entrepreneur has the mental toughness to pick himself up, brush himself off, and move on to the next deal. And when he moves on, he does so with an arsenal that contains considerable amount of newly acquired knowledge and wisdom. Nevertheless, the retrogressive dreams of life that is risk-free, what he does not understand is that people must be allowed to fail, because when you take away the right to fail, you take away creativity and resourcefulness. If there were no risks involved, everyone would be an entrepreneur. Is greed good? Contrary to the retrogressive belief that government must regulate greedy entrepreneurs in the market through the law of supply and demand, it's infinitely more effective regulator than all politicians in the world. In fact, it would be accurate to say the market is never wrong, because it always rewards those who produce products and services at prices people are willing to pay and punishes those who do not. The entrepreneur is often accused of being greedy. Yes, I remember when I had the girls working for me, there was one. You're making too much money. You're greedy. Really? I'm working my ass off. Really? Got a problem with that? They're not willing to do what you do, but they're willing to call you greedy because you make more than them. It's called class envy. It's despicable. Human nature. It's small-mindedness. And indeed, greed is quite simply the desire to acquire more of something, and the reality is that all of human beings possess such a desire. Being different people have different desires. One person might desire to acquire material wealth by providing products or services that people are willing to purchase from him, while another person may desire to acquire power over others by leading or joining a crusade of some kind. But regardless of the objectives, all people are greedy in the sense that they have a desire to acquire. So the audience was set up to hiss and boo when Gordon Gekko, in 1987 movie on Wall Street, spewed out of those now famous words, "Greed is good." The fact that greed is like self-interest is neither good or bad. It's neutral. It's only the methods that a person employs to fulfill his desires satisfies those greeds, which are good or bad. As long as the entrepreneur does not use or force fraud against anyone, apologizes for being greedy, and certainly not for any success he's able to achieve through raw ambition and hard work. Liberty or tyranny, which will it be? It is important to realize that the far left never retreats. It has been trudging forward in America for at least 100 years, which is why the war between the retrogressive and the entrepreneur is never ending. Thus, the major question of our time is which side shall prevail. Will it be the retrogressive, who extols virtues of a collectivist society in which men and women are living and breathing automatons, or will it be the entrepreneur, who passionately believes in the right of the individual to determine his own destiny, to work as hard as he chooses, to earn as much as possibly can, and to keep the fruit of his labor? It is the entrepreneur spirit that has always moved America forward. And it's the entrepreneur who is most capable of leading the charge to resurrect the American way of life that our parents and grandparents experienced. We were never meant to be a collectivist society. Our founding fathers fought for a society based on individual rights, entrepreneurship, and above all, liberty. The retrogressive is the enemy not only of the entrepreneur, but of all people of goodwill whose lives are enhanced by the entrepreneur's efforts. In a true laissez-faire economy, government would never be allowed to go beyond its original purpose of protecting the lives and property of its citizens. And the entrepreneur would have been able to create wealth on a scale that is possible for the retrogressive to comprehend. Some people marvel at how far mankind, through the efforts of entrepreneur, has advanced in such short period of time. But what they marvel at is not a reflection of the true potential, and the true potential minus government intervention. In other words, it is the entrepreneur, not the government, who built America and made the most prosperous nation in history of the world. And the only way for the U.S. to snatch the economic victory from the jaws of the economic defeat is for the government to get the hell out of the way and for the entrepreneur to be allowed to once again move the country forward. Set free to act in his own belief and interest, entrepreneur, America's great unsung hero, and the capacity to be driving force behind a new and revitalized America with unlimited possibilities and improving for the well-being of its citizens. These truths are self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by a creator with certain unalienable rights. Amongst these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We really need to get the retrogressives out of the way. The retrogressives, they call themselves progressives. Let's remember what progressive really means. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's time to wake up. It's time to show up. It's time to speak up. And it's time to go ahead and spread the news about Awaken to Empowerment. The entrepreneur is the one who built America, not the government. So, folks, please, please share this. Please share this information. Please go ahead and let people know what's really going on. And let's take our country in a different direction. You know, let's go ahead and make America great again. It would be awesome. It would be awesome and awesome and awesome if we can go ahead and make America great and let everybody know the truth of freedom. Remember, even our friends, and I love them, whoever controls the media controls the mind. Don't let anyone control your mind. Be free. Be free thinking. Be entrepreneurial. Let's make America great again, okay? And everyone, have a fantastic day. This is Carol Parisi. There's a real good chance I'll be back on tomorrow. And it's time for truth. So spread the word. And be happy. Peace out. This is Carol signing off. Ciao.